Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What rattles your cage? What gets you shook up? I was on a cruise once by myself a few years ago, going from Los Angeles to Fort Lauderdale through the Panama Canal. I got rattled when the boat was slamming into waves so hard that it literally shook the whole boat. I hate that feeling of being things happening around me that I can't escape from. I nearly got off the boat in Aruba and came home, mainly because I was missing Dana, but also because the weather and the seas kept getting rougher as the trip went on. That feeling of being trapped, of being hemmed in, of having wild things happen that were out of my control was and is disturbing. Now, the idea of walking humbly with God from the Old Testament lesson today should be one of those things that rattle our cages and is disturbing to us. Now, if you ever read the Chronicles of Narnia or saw the first movie, there's a line in there regarding Aslan, who is a lion. He's the Christ figure. And the line in the story goes, "It's not as if he were a tame lion." God is not tame, nor is he confined by our knowledge of him. He is big and he is wild and he shakes things up. One of the things that God does that shakes up our world is that he revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. He came to us as a total, perfect human so we could know him. But in his coming to us, we're left with the question of, how do we respond? How do we act in the face of the God of creation being with us? Again, the answer is in the Old Testament lesson. We're to walk with God in humbleness, not in pride or arrogant confidence in ourselves. That's a problem. Humbleness is not our default position. We like to be in control, and humility and humbleness seem to be incompatible with how we like to view ourselves. We like to think we have God contained and locked up in the Jesus box. Even the Bible itself suffers the same fate as its author, Jesus Christ. Since Jesus came into this world in the humble form of a man, many people throughout history have refused to consider him anything else, anything more than just a man. They simply cannot accept Jesus' divine nature, even though Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And since the Bible was written by men in human language, many people throughout history have refused to accept it as anything more than the words of man. They can't accept the Bible's divine nature, even though the Holy Spirit inspired its writers to speak the very words and to write the very words of God. So, we must tread carefully with our understanding of both the Bible and Jesus, its author. Now, because we can read and comprehend language, we can sometimes feel as if we have mastered those parts of the Bible, the parts that are important to us. And in doing that, we think we have grasped the whole thing. But in truth, if we read the whole of Scripture, it rattles our cages. It upsets our world. That's because we think it, must submit to our understanding. And that same fallacy is where we get into trouble with God. We like to think that we have cornered the unknowable that God is and have put him into our pocket. Now, pocket crosses are nice, and they're healthy. They're good when they remind us that God is near us. But that should make us tremble, lest we become proud and arrogant in our self-knowledge. Listen again to the last phrase. Actually, read the last phrase of the Old Testament lesson which shakes up our world. Read this out loud. To act justly. If the idea of learning to walk humbly with God shakes us up, what about the ideas of acting justly and loving mercy? These words call us to look at our actions. Is how we live our daily life, is it reflective of God's mercy? Do we act justly toward others? Again, this shakes us up because it puts others ahead of ourselves. And that is exactly what Christ did in coming to earth. He put us ahead of himself. He acted in mercy toward us. And that allows us to now act justly toward others. In going to the cross to die and to rise again to new life in our place, he shows us what it is to be merciful, to love mercy. Now, to love mercy and to act justly is costly. It's costly. It cost Christ his life. His life was spent, that is, it was totally given up on the cross so that we could know that God loves mercy more than any sacrifice that we could make. His sacrifice, God's sacrifice of Jesus for us, shows us, demonstrates to us mercy. Now, in the gospel lesson today, Jesus gives us the Beatitudes. These words are there to help us with what can be our attitude, like I talked about with the kids, our attitude in life. As Jesus lists those who are blessed, that list reflects God's attitude toward us. Jesus died so those attitudes could become ours. Not simply because we have read them and superficially understood them, but also so that by his grace alone, those attitudes would become part of us, part of who we are. Again, we talked about that in Sunday school. For the most part, the Beatitudes, when you look at them, are not things that you do, but they should affect everything that you do. When you read the Beatitudes, you see Christ reflected in them. And you see how we as Christians can then turn and reflect Christ to the world. As we ponder the Beatitudes, they also shake up our world. To bear in mind the humbleness they speak of, that changes us. As we bear in mind poorness in spirit, as we bear in mind an attitude of mourning and meekness, as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, as we show mercy and maintain a pure heart, as we seek to be peacemakers, and as we find that because of righteousness we are persecuted, by these attitudes we'll find ourselves changed and our world shook to the core. Can we do all of these things? Can these things be truly in our life? Well, no, not in our own strength. It isn't a matter of what we can do. Now, we live in a can-do culture, bursting at the seams with self-confidence, walking humbly with God, bearing the Beatitudes in mind, makes it clear that there are things we cannot do, problems we cannot solve on our own, forces we cannot control, needs that we cannot meet on our own. Now, this humble cannot admission clashes terribly with our world's can-do arrogance. And that shakes up, rattles our world. Only by God's grace, only by God's grace, will the Beatitudes become our attitudes. Not by our effort, not by our will, but by the effort of Christ to grant them to us. And that He has done. He has done that on the cross and in our baptism. And through confession and absolution, and as we come to Holy Communion. But for those attitudes to shine through in our life, we need to listen to what the Old Testament tells us, to walk humbly with God. Now, let me point out one other thing from the Beatitudes. As I read them, there is one that really stands out as something to do. And if we seek to do that one thing, it's like what I did with the kids this morning. It's like smiling before you pick up the phone. I used to have to teach this to the people who worked for me at the bookstores where I used to work. So, turn to your neighbor right now without smiling and say hello. Now look back at me. Now put a smile on your face. Now turn and say hello. All right. Now you see how doing that affects your tone. It affects your life. It affects all kinds of things. It affects your expectations of what comes next. The same thing is true with this one beatitude. If we seek to act this way, then it will affect everything else in our world. It's the one where Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Mercy is something that can only be shown, demonstrated. There's no way for mercy to be known other than by how a person acts and by what a person says to another. Mercy cannot be shown without it affecting your world, like putting a smile on your face. Christ, Have Mercy. That's How to Put Your Faith in Action. It's a book written by our Senate President, Matthew Harrison. In it are his stories of how he has seen God's mercy in action in his travels around the world when he was the head of Lutheran World Relief. From one of the reviews that I read, it says that the book is not as much a list of what to do, but rather how God's mercy shown through His people can and has changed the world. It is mercy. God's mercy in us and through us that changes things, that shakes up the world. The Beatitudes are there to help guide us in doing what we read from Micah, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. If that doesn't shake up our world, nothing can. After all, that's what Jesus has done. In His name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.